Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started. Hello, my fabulous She Did It Her Way listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I am so excited to be back with my biz besties and friends that I've met, I think 3 years ago at this point, Jacqueline and Mina from The Product Boss. Welcome back to the She Did It Her Way podcast.
Yay, we're so excited.
We are so excited to be here. Super excited.
Yes, I know. I'm pumped. We have so much to cover and I feel like we need to have a separate conversation after this podcast interview. But for reference point, some of you who are tuning in may have heard about The Product Boss just in general, but maybe you heard about them through the She Did It Her Way podcast. And if you did, that makes sense because they came on May 13th of 2019, episode 333, Fake It Till You Make It. And so much has changed in the past.
That was a decade ago? I know. 2019 when?
Well, Mina was like, I thought that was last year. I'm like, no, it was 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. But, you know, so much has changed in the climate of the world, but so much has changed for you guys. So I would love for you just to kind of give like a high level overview, because I know we dove into that in episode 332, but just share a little high level overview of a little bit of your background and then what it is that you guys do. And then we'll kind of dive into what's happened the past 2 years.
Yeah. Which again, feels like a decade. It's just crazy what's happened, but yeah, I'm Jacqueline. So you know my voice, and I'm a fashion designer by trade and a business strategist. And I've been consulting startup fashion brands since 2007, but we at The Product Boss, both Mina and I have also had, she still has her own product-based business. I had my own that celebrities wore. It was an accessories brand and I had press and I sold it very much the traditional route. So wholesale and direct to consumer. And that's how I met Mina, who was my first biz bestie. Cause I was like, what do I do with all this product I want to liquidate? And I don't want to do it anymore. Cause you know, sometimes our businesses change and we shut things down and I shut down that product business. I changed my service business a bit too. And now cut to The Product Boss. So ultimately high level, is we help physical product-based business owners level up their businesses. And we really help them with marketing strategies, sales strategies. And we truly believe that there is a different path to profit for every business owner. So what that means is, you know, if all three of us were to start a product-based business, we'd all have a different way. Maybe one of us would make, maybe one of us would manufacture, maybe one of us would be a retailer, and we'd all have different ways that we'd want to sell those products and ship those products to our customers. And so we really allow for that space for our business owners to decide what works for them and also lift that cap or that glass ceiling they've set for themselves and realize that like they can make any amount of money that they want to give the life and lifestyle that they hope for.
Yeah. And we like to remind them that their business is simply the vehicle to their dream life. So whatever they're building, how they're living, what they're working so hard for, it is in effort towards their dream life, however they see that, right? So there's some people that don't want the $1 million, but they could have the $1 million. There's some people that want the lake house or the vacation every year or whatever it is. So we really blend that in because we're moms ourselves of two kids apiece. We're juggling, you know, business and motherhood and I don't know, the household stuff. I mean, all the things.
Maybe taking care of ourselves. Who knows?
Yes, of course, that's the forgotten one. And then we really try to bring that in a community sense. Like we are in this together and we are really wanting to showcase that, you know, women have a space in this world where you can make as much money as you want for the dream life that you want it to be. And that we're here to help each other do that.
I love that. That is amazing. And one of the things that, Jacqueline, you had shared at the beginning is what you guys do at The Product Boss is saying that there's different ways to generate revenue and go about a product-based business. And that is so true just for, I feel like business and online business in general, and it's identifying which path is the one that suits you because how you might make money in your business is different than the other person that makes money in their business. And it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. It just means that there's different paths. And I think that's so important for all of us as business owners is to recognize that we have to go it our own way in a way that aligns with us the most.
And also it's seasonal, right? So it's a different each season that we're in. I mean, Mina really, when she met me, was at a really hard time for me. I was bi-coastal. My husband's a Broadway actor. And so he was on the East Coast. I had a young kid. And I know this is like totally off track, but maybe it aligns to what we're talking about here. And I was bi-coastal with a baby flying back and forth from LA to New York. And I had my consulting business, which I've had since 2007. And that was a physical business with physical employees in an office. I know it's hard to imagine. And it was consulting. So I had clients and we did a lot for them. So we were a full sort of like development production. You basically came to me, you want to start a clothing line. It's hands off for you. And we did it all. And I used to think no one would ever hire me to do anything different than everything for them. Mm. And it was so stressful. And I mean, I had my business, my eye feel like it's twitching right now telling you this, and it's literally twitching. And I had it for 10 and a half years, never worked with a coach or anything. And you know, when I met Mina, I was really tossing this around and I had a second kid at that point. And she was like, she was the first person to bring up to me seasons, like seasons of life. And where was I at in that season? While it worked for me when I was in my 20s to like my early 30s, it was different. And so I was forced to kind of change my business because the main woman who ran my business gave me her notice. She got an amazing job and I don't blame her for leaving. And it was the thing that pushed me into thinking through my business and saying, do I need a physical space anymore? Do I need, you know, employees, or can I just coach online? But it was just, you know, through Zoom calls, really. So I never scaled that business. I really did it. Like, I still have clients from that business and I charged the same amount of money, did less, had less overhead, and changed my life. And then I met Mina and then we started the Product Boss and changed my life again. But it's really seasonal. And I think it's never too late to shift. And with all the experiences that all of us have, we can always rebuild and create something new.
Don't ever believe someone who's an overnight success. It's impossible. You know, usually a lot of ways that things happen, your life just simply changes. So you have to pivot along with how your life is changing. And so the overnight successes, unless they live that same life and they went directly where they thought they were going to go, it is impossible. When Jacqueline came into my life, I actually was in a really bad time in my life too. My daughter had come home from like open heart surgery. I was having like a mental mom guilt moment of really understanding that it was okay to work in my business too, and just all these different things. So there was a part of me that always felt really like I was drowning in mom guilt all the time. And it wasn't until I met Jacqueline that somebody said, it's okay to feel that way. And you can't control all these things. And it kind of gave me the permission to be who I am. You know, and I think that there's people that come into your life all the time that, you know, you don't expect them to come in. So even thinking about what your path isn't always what it's going to be. What your product isn't always what it's going to be. What your business isn't always what it's going to be. So I think it's evolved for us. We've met amazing people like Amanda along the way, and it's changed your path ever so slightly. So I think that we all have to keep that in mind, is that it looks different for all of us, but at the end of it, you kind of want to weave it in the, you know, little micro pivoty way to the life that you want to live.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. And a follow-up question, did either of you have hesitation or resistance around transitioning out of the way that you used to run your business or life?
Yesterday.
Okay. I mean, it never stops, right? But like, no. I think it's important to share that. And because I can imagine the different seasons of life. And even for me, as someone who I don't currently have kids, we do plan on having kids at some point. I know that identity shift is going to take place. And as a business owner, I can't help but wonder like how that's going to fit in. And, you know, what sort of was the mental dialogue during any of those transitions, even if it was yesterday, Mina?
My mom straight up told me the other day, because I used to think I wanted three kids. And then she's like, well, you know, you're just so career focused. Like, that's what she said to me. Like, that's why I didn't have more kids. She's like, you know, because God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I was like, I can handle a lot, mom. Like, I could handle more kids. But she, you know,
I wanted them.
Thought I did. But she's, you know, she's right in the way that when I got pregnant with my first kid, I didn't expect to, I was on my career path. I didn't see how to fit it in, and it happened, and it was beautiful and wonderful. And I'm so, you know, glad. And I think we were giving this advice to someone the other day. I think someone who works for us, she's getting married and she wants to have kids. And we're like, it's like entrepreneurs. We never know what's coming. We all just came out of 2020. Like, nobody knows what to do. You just figure it out. And like, if it's baby in tow with you, like, you take the baby with you. You know, if it's, you can afford a nanny or help, like, you get the help if you need to drop your kid off at your parents' house. So I will tell you, for me, every single transition, I do have transition issues. Like, I feel I go back and forth. It causes anxiety and I have to settle into it. But I think realizing that that's going to happen. And then just having that belief, I just had this conversation actually also yesterday. Like if we all go back to the pandemic and we think how scared we all were in the very beginning, because none of us knew it was going to happen. What was to come? We were all in our homes. Mm-hmm. And then if we look back now in this journey that we've all taken together, okay, it was scary, but like we are on this other side where we understand it more. It's the same with anything that we go through. In the very beginning, we don't know what's ahead. And then in retrospect, it all works out as it should. So I think just having that like trust in things working out in your best interest and knowing that you are wonderful at what you do and like you'll be able to figure out your path forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Having that trust within yourself. Yeah, Mina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that it's growing pains, right? We don't know how to be this many years in our business. We don't know how to raise these children that keep on growing despite what we do. You know, we don't know any of those things. So it's a lot of growing pains that happen. And Jacqueline and I think one of the things that really I hit a wall a lot of times is I see the business the way it is and the household the way it is. There's so many worlds that I'm living in, I feel like. And then stepping into leadership and hiring for a team that I can't quite see yet. So mm-hmm. It's really, you know, I am really a person of, you know, like if you take that test, the futuristic was my number one strategic and futuristic. I forget what test it was, strength finders. Mm. And so I always knew I live forward. So I've always tried to think, okay, you can't live in the future. You have to live in the present. So I did that with my children. So now it's like I have, but with my business, I actually have to grow into this thing that I foresee. So now I'm having to flip it because it's not actually my baby. It's what I'm trying to create, you know? Mm. So it's been really hard to understand, like, what does that version of me look like, right? The future person that's coordinating a team, that's leading people, that has a community, that my kids are older, like, you know, Lord knows what that looks like. Nobody does, not even me. So like hiring for that, I think becomes a struggle because you're hiring ahead of what you feel that you even know. There's an uncertainty to all of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to trust yourself and you have to trust all the people around you, and you're making decisions for a team and a family that you're trying to raise, as well as a team that you're putting food on their table. So I think that you have to be able to just release that a little bit and have the conversations. Like with myself and Jacqueline, we keep it really fluid. They're not always like amazing conversations that we have these epiphanies that we're like, this is how we're going to grow and this is who we're going to hire and all the things. And sometimes they're, you know, growth pains, and we have to figure it out. Okay, we're growing this. Here's where it's going to go. We kind of have to realign with our values with each other and values separately and everything like that. And it becomes just a conversation that stays very fluid. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they're hard conversations. Sometimes they're 90% of the time they're easy conversations, you know, but there's like the decision-making ones that will take us to another level that we kind of have to like shake each other by the shoulders and be like, you can do this. You've got this. And then the next day it'll be like her doing to me and vice versa. And it's like a pattern that happens. Mm. And then all of a sudden we're where we need to be. Most times we've made it through the transition.
That's a beautiful, I mean, there's so many things that you said, Mina, that I kind of want to touch on. One being growing pains and kind of wondering like, what was the tipping point in the past 2 years that you would say was the moment that growth like accelerated? Talk about team growth, future vision or a future version of yourself, and how do you get into that state and what's your ritual around it? Don't worry. You don't need to answer all these at once. I'm going to recap it. I have my list. And then like your biggest oh shit moment or OSM in the past 2 years. And then how do you decide roles? And then you mentioned that you and Jacqueline sometimes shake each other, reminding each other that you can do this, which I think is a beautiful thing about having a partner in business, is that when one partner is in self-doubt, the other one's there to remind them. And so I'm going to ask curious of like, Jacqueline, what was the most recent thing you shook Mina on? And Mina, what was the most recent thing you shook Jacqueline on? I'll get to that question, but you can think about it in the back of your mind.
It's like one of those like marriage shows where it's like, what's her favorite thing?
Yes. And then you can like raise the shoe.
I'm
or
guessing
the
I know what she's going to say. Yeah.
Well, actually, let's go ahead and start with that question. What if either one of you know what you shake the other person for?
You want to go?
You can go first. I'm still thinking.
Okay. Well,
you're like, how aggressive do I want to be with my response?
I think sometimes I black out all the growth that we have to do. That's uncomfortable.
I think it's the growth. I think it's the growth thing, right? Like, I think, so we just launched end of last year, we started the small business shopping directory and the Shop 1 in 5 pledge. So the Shop 1 in 5 pledge is this pledge to make 1 in 5 of your purchases from a small business. Now, while we did it last year, it was only supposed to be a 3-month thing. It was just going to be for the end of the year, but we had such an amazing response. And then we had so much press about it that we were like, this thing has legs. Like, let's keep it going. Well, cut to, I don't know. It feels like a year later. We hired a team. We built like this platform from scratch. It was crazy.
Hired a developer, spent tens of hundreds at, we have an episode coming out today. That's why we spent $100,000 on relaunching the small business shopping directory. Wow. It's been a lot. Let's just say it's been a lot.
And we're so excited about it, but it's one of those things that we're also not sure it's going to work. It's a platform to give space and opportunity to small businesses. Mm. And, you know, it's different than when we're all coaching or we're selling courses or masterminds and things like that, where like you can see that direct correlation with helping someone. This thing has been this thing that we always say like had to birth, but we had to birth this platform with hopes that it would work. And it was just, there's so many intricacies to it. So there's been times where we're like, should we just not do it? Like, should we just pull the plug? Mm. You know, we've had so many conversations because it got so hard. It got just, mm-hmm. there was so much to it. And then we have this other set. It was basically, we started 2 businesses, it feels like, and we have the Product Boss that we've been growing. So, you know, I think the level of burnout where like we have to pull mm-hmm. each other back from burnout, and each of us has a different thing between me and I, like a different thing, like a different tolerance level to stress and to busy and to hustle. Mm-hmm. And every so often we see each other go, you know, on that brink of burnout. And then the other one's like, what can I do to help you? How do I pull you back from this? Like, how can I take some stuff off of your plate? Which we're really fortunate as business owners to have each other. And if you don't have a business partner, you know, have a biz bestie or someone you that's, you know, Amanda and us, like we all have like a separate chat that we have that we go to each other. And I think it's really important to have community or somebody to lean on.
Amen yeah. to that.
I was thinking a similar situation for sure. I think, you know, are you a Enneagram 3? Is that what you are, Amanda?
I'm a 1 wing 3. So I tend to lead a little bit more process oriented.
Yeah. So we're both 3s, meaning that we are the achievers mm-hmm. and we compartmentalize by just going deeper into work. And so one of the times, Jacqueline, she had driven to California, she went to Hawaii with her family. And the goal was that she was going to spend time with her family because their family was going through like a family crisis during that time. And so she had her grandma with her, her mom with her, her kids. It was, you know, going to be that she's going to do that. Well, what does she do? She keeps showing up on the meeting she wasn't invited to. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You know, and
I thought I had to be there. I'm the other business
and
owner.
Remember, this is Hawaii time. It's like 4 a.m. or something ridiculous. And then, you know, so we're doing the team meetings, which we do every week. I'm like, you really don't have to be a part of these, you know,
like, can you just not show up?
Yeah, she did.
And then, so a lot of times if Jacqueline's under stress, which remember I was telling you that she was going through family crisis, she'll dive into work to the detriment of her own health, mental and physical. So I kept telling her she shouldn't show up. And we would get into like, because it was high emotions. Because at that time I was very high in burnout too. I was only, you know, because it's her, I was just like, okay, you definitely are going through something right now. And I can see that you need to focus on just being there, you know? And whereas, but then in my own world, I was burnt out too. So it's just like, it doesn't feel like how you think it would be like, oh, here, I'll take the bull by the horns and la-di-da, it's amazing. It's not like that at all. It's more like, you know, wrestling with somebody to help you that you want to help. And you're just like, please just let me help you.
Can you just let me help you, please?
And it's true though. And then like, Mina went on a vacation, you know, like just, you know, at the end of July or whatever. And it was the same idea. Like we really just wanted her to take a minute. Cause I think as being business owners, it's really hard sometimes to step away from your business.
Yeah.
And to be like, everything's going to survive. And it takes a long time to get it there. I don't think either of us had issues with like, will the company still be standing when we're back? But it was more of that, like you said, like diving in. It's like when you go on vacation, it takes a few days to get into vacation mode. And by the time you're in vacation mode, it's time to go home. So
yeah. And plus, like being part of a team, I think that's hard for us too, is that just feeling like, okay, we're part of the team, but then one's gone and one's there, that sort of thing. So it's been kind of like I said, it's always a fluid conversation, but I think that we can kind of see when we're starting to perhaps need the other person to like pull the plug for us versus telling us we need to pull the plug.
Yeah, no, having that accountability of, well, and I think sometimes too, I'm only speaking for myself, is like, it can be addicting to be able to cross things off the list and know that you're moving forward and creating progress. And so it's like, okay, I don't want to stop the momentum, but I'm also sacrificing, you know, the boundaries that I'm trying to keep in place to spend time with family or to like unplug before bed. Right. And it's having someone there to shake and to remind is helpful too. What would you say then over the past 2 years since we spoke in May of 2019? I mean, you guys have experienced an insane amount of growth. So I would love for you to share just in your own words, how you would share cumulative the growth that you've had. And then what would you say was that tipping point where it was like, granted, we all know that, you know, there's the 7 years or there's all that back time. Right. And most people only see that moment of like, oh, it clicks. And then everything else is magically like successful. So
we still wake up and go, we're not exactly sure how this happened or how we're here.
I do know. I know,
but it's like shocking.
I think that the tipping point was the pandemic. So it was really like when the pandemic hit, there was people that were staying stuck and people that were moving forward. What ended up happening was that my reaction was let's take a minute. And Jacqueline's was let's jump in. So we kind of like worked through those conversations. And then we both were committed to, okay, our community does need us. We're going to go 150%. And it was at like, you know how things hit at a perfect timing and you'd make a big decision. And so it was at the perfect timing where we decided we're going to show up more than we've ever shown up before. Like I was like, I'm going to do the most videos to make up for the first 4 decades of my life that, you know, that I've never shown up on video as much as this. And we really bonded with our community. Like it wasn't from a way of expertise, like these are all the things that you should be doing. We showed our struggles. We showed, you know, a lot of things that were happening. We didn't know, but it was in a way of like maybe like an educated friend or something, you know, like a friend that's very into business as much as you are. And is like, hey, this is what we're seeing. We, you know, let's do this together sort of thing. And so that was really the tipping point for us, was the showing up more than I'm guessing, like we should be awarded for most show ups during 2020.
Against you. No, I mean, it's true.
Though, against the world.
You know? Year, definitely. I recognize and saw that. I'm like, gee, like, good. That's amazing. Like, you guys are like Instagram, the Facebook, just everything. And I'm like, that's incredible. Like creating that visibility. And then even Mina, like your mindset around, I'm going to show up to make up for the past 4 decades of not showing up and using that as motivation and fuel to like remind yourself why you're posting and to like motivate to post.
Yeah. You know, and it's true because last year, at the beginning of 2020, we were like, we want to hit $1 million this year. We had no idea how we were going to do it. It was just like our number.
A fun number we kept hearing on the internet.
So you were like third year of business and it would have been like doubling. I don't know. We just had like this crazy number. We're like, let's, because actually the event we originally met you at was this time that I had this like epiphany where I stood up and I was like, what's your biggest takeaway from this in-person event? And I was like, that we could be a $1 million business. And that was the first time I always just wanted to hit 6 figures. I wanted to pay myself a 6-figure salary, like $100,000 was the going number. And then that was when I had this like cap lifted off. Like, that's why I say, I think a lot of times we create our own glass ceiling, right? Instead of like what's possible. So yeah, I think last year, definitely in March, when it was like, what do we do? And all we knew to do was step forward and help. And our only way to help from our homes was like to take on this leadership role to tell our, you know, followers and community, you need to keep selling. Like people need to buy what you're selling, like keep selling. Cause everyone had this guilt around it. Do I even keep selling? You know? So I think that's it. I think we really leaned into this position of leadership, which we weren't really, even though we had this like successful podcast, I don't think in our brains we had shifted to leaders, and it just changed. Like by October we had hit our goal, which was crazy. Cause we were in March, we were like never going to happen. And it just catapulted from there. And we're just so grateful.
That's incredible. How did you guys celebrate anything special? Like what did you do?
Well, when I drove across the country.
Yeah. So the first time when she drove across, she drove through the north. And then when she came back, she drove through the south. North was Iowa, where
I'm just outside of New York City.
That's another tidbit. Mina and I are from Iowa. I like it.
So I left New York and drove because we weren't going to fly, but we wanted to ride out the winter with our families in California. And so I drove across and then stopped off at Mina's during the pandemic, brought a bottle of champagne, straight up drank it from the bottle in her garage because we weren't going inside because it was a pandemic, did a little dance. And then we said, bye, see you again in a year. So
I love it, but it's still commemorate. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Words. I don't have enough caffeine in me. Clearly that's awesome. What would you say then the biggest growing pain, right? You hit a million last October and then COVID, but as far as experiencing that growth, what's been the most surprising challenge to it?
I think it's our mind. For mm-hmm. sure. I think the way that I've seen myself grow and Jack and grow is that our mindsets are completely different than they used to be. Mm-hmm. Even our thinking of money, our thinking of team, our thinking mm-hmm. of growth and impact has completely changed. We're like different people than we used to be. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a challenge to kind of step into it a little bit as far as, okay, these are, you know, like Jacqueline calls it a glass ceiling, but for me, I feel like it's a cap like on capacity, like what you think that you're capable of doing, you mm-hmm. know, whether that's skill, thinking, or thoughts, or any of that stuff. And at one point, here's what I was capable of. And then it got to further down is like, here's what I'm capable of. And then now I'm just like, I feel like I've really realized I'm capable of so much more than I ever imagined, you know, and it's kind of like making my mind catch up to that a little bit as far as like the things I'm doing and kind of going back and forth on that. So I think it has a lot to do with leadership, but it also, you know, self-doubt creeps in for everybody all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that has been a challenge is self-doubt, balancing that out with I'm capable and I'm willing and showcasing more of my story along with Jacqueline's story and where we came from initially. And that's ever evolving. And so I think showing more of ourselves and then being capable of now bigger things than we've ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, you know, you're saying you think differently about money, team, growth, mm-hmm. and impact. What has changed specific to how you think about money?
Money for sure. We're almost disillusioned to the point that we can make everybody millions of dollars, you know,
disillusioned.
Yeah,
I would say disillusion, but like, we know that there's potential for everyone if that's what they want it.
Like it almost feels like wacky and crazy that we're like, you get $1 million and you get $1 million and you get $1 million. But it feels like it's so possible, like if they want it, you know, but at the same time, you feel like you're like, you know, this crazy person on stage saying it, you know, so not disillusioned in a bad way, but disillusioned in a good way. Like it's good that we do think that because there's a lot of people that don't think that way, you know,
I'd say from a money perspective, cause I definitely have like a scarcity story and I've really been working on that and living in abundance versus scarcity and having money allows for us to have other opportunities. Like I'm paying for this nutritionist. I've had all this like health stuff in the last year and a half and it's an expensive nutritionist. And Mina's like, why? I was like, I don't know if I should pay for this. And she's like, why are we making this money if we're not going to pay for health? Mm. Right. She's like, why else than paying for something like this? And it's beautiful in terms of being able to afford things that make our lives a bit easier or healthier or, you know, opportunities for our kids. I think that's amazing. We just had a meeting with our team. We're a completely digital business. So we had never met a lot of our team members and we just met them and we were able to easily bonus them out at that event. And they all cried and seeing that impact of the money that we make, because they also felt like they had to keep paying for meals. We're like, you're on a business trip. Like we'll pay for the meals. And we're like, and what we had said, we're like, that's because we're all doing this together. Like you are helping us and this revenue, we're impacting other business owners. And in return, you know, we're able to shift their lives or do that. So I find that to be really big, like the impact that we're having and the opportunities we're giving other people as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a really good one too, since we've talked.
Yeah.
So I retired my husband as a pharmacist. He's a firstborn immigrant, refugee, Thai-dom, firstborn male of his family. So this is a big deal for any Asian family, but he's also, you know, immigrant refugee. And he was a pharmacist, which is a really big deal to have a doctor in the family, like a doctorate of pharmacy. And it's like basically what the community, you know, rallies behind. Oh my gosh, you know, he's so representative. He's firstborn, blah, blah, blah. You know, like he's kind of like a poster child, I would say, for tight on people. This is the American dream. He's a doctor, you know, that sort of thing. And then what is he doing now? Well, his wife has retired him and now he works full-time in what they started as their labels company. And she's the breadwinner. He helps take care of the children. So, I mean, that ain't a shock, right? You know, so it's been a little bit of a still, you know, like not all his family members are thrilled, but they're still excited. I mean, I think the pandemic really helped with that because they're like, oh, okay, people have to live their own lives sort of thing, but it definitely is a shock. And then another thing with money is that I never thought that I was capable of generational wealth. You know, my parents came here with nothing, like literally they didn't even know the language. And then now I'm going to be able to not only leave my kids with no debt, but to actually have money coming into this world, it's such a different way of thinking. Like, you know, it's like basically I'm taking them forward and being able to create impact of their own. You know, it's just crazy to think about.
That's incredible. What was the, both of you kind of alluded to this, like Mina, you said, I'm not going to get this fully right, but the delusion thought that you can make everyone millionaires. And then Jacqueline, it was at the event that we met at 2-3 years ago, where that ceiling or that cap had been lifted. What was that shift? What took you from, yeah, other people can do it and I'm not sure like if I can, to, oh crap, yes, I can. Is that, did that happen once you made the $1 million? Or I'd have to imagine it would be before, right? Because if you don't have the thought, you can't manifest the physical nature of it. So like, what was it? Would you say?
I mean, I think, again, I had my business for 10 and a half years without ever having a coach or a community. I was just doing it. And I had my employees, I don't know, like my husband would get so annoyed with me talking about work all the time. And my friends worked for other people. And, you know, you're just in self-doubt, for example. And I think being in community, so Mina was one of my first people that I could talk to that was a business friend. And then that event was just a community of other people that were doing things differently. They were actually digital marketers more so. Like they were implementing video and like, you're a huge podcaster, you know, all these people. And it was just seeing all these different ways of business. It's kind of, again, back to our idea of path to profit, and that you could see the potential for others and you could see how they were doing it. And I think for me, I was like, oh, this, it was sort of saying, oh, they're doing it. This could happen for us as well. We just kind of need to shift a few things. I don't even think we didn't even have a course at that point. We hadn't even thought about being course creators. And so it was just, I think, being surrounded by others that showed us the potential. And I think that's why we're so honest about money, about being new to money, being having scarcity thoughts or abundance thoughts. We're both first generation Americans that like both of our parents came here and just kind of tried to figure it out. And I think it's possible. Maybe that influenced us in our ability, but it's possible for anybody to start from wherever you are now and create whatever you want. You just have to imagine it for yourself or just allow yourself that permission to dream that big and then step into it.
Yeah. I mean, just think, Jacqueline and I started this partnership. Neither one of us had an audience. We didn't even know what podcast microphones to buy. You know, not that we've gone very far away from what we were doing in the beginning, but we started with nothing and we grew into something really, really big. And that was because we were allowing it to happen. You know, I think we've really throughout our journey granted ourselves permission to think bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that sometimes it does take another person, actually all the time, it takes another person to think big for you, you know, and to tell you, hey, it's going to be okay. Lean into it, you know, and even in a smaller realm, even without Jacqueline, like I have my husband who believes in me, obviously he wouldn't have taken the jump, you know, and with her husband, same sort of thing. So it's like you still need that support in whatever shape, way or form. Sometimes people don't get that support and they have to find the community that will give them that support, you know? So I think that is really what it takes, is finding people that believe it as much as you do. And even if they aren't there to like pick you up all the time, it's the fact that you can say it out loud, you can believe it. And they're like, yeah, I totally see that for you, you know?
And I love how you said like having people push you to like believe in it before even, and I know, well, maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but there's something that you said, Mina, about how someone shows you and like inspires you to also believe it. And it's important to be around that so that you can kind of like mentally pave that path. And I know that we have about 5 minutes left. I'm just going back through my notes. A couple last questions. One, how has the relationship and roles between the two of you changed or stayed the same? That's kind of my last question. Okay. Main last parting question. I know I built it up as if there's going to be like an entire monologue. And then I was like, no, but I think that is for sake of time. That is my last question.
Well, your question earlier too, about what it changes for us, it was team. So what we realized when we were growing so fast is that we that's how we were hitting burnout. We were like staying up all night writing our sales emails, right? And changing, you know, we were doing so many things and our team was quite small. So we've actually, I don't know, quadrupled our team in the past like 6 months. It's crazy how big it is. And I would say the hardest shift has been not working together on everything. There's no way that we can work on everything together, but it's also been that balance because there's things we really love and play off of each other. And that's the genius behind, let's call it like the product boss, is that her and I, the way that we can back and forth, you're hearing it on this podcast, the way we can create education for people. So I think in terms of roles, we're starting to sit into, okay, you know, like I'm a little bit more of the salesperson. So maybe I'm more in sales and Mina's more in operations because that's where our strengths lie. And then we're also trying to work together to figure out what do we always want to cross over on and what can we handle without each other, but still feel aligned and feel, you know, on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think while we both lean towards our skill sets, operations comes naturally to me, sales comes naturally to Jacqueline, but we do have to like combine voices, right? So when we're hiring people, it's been a little bit of a struggle because not everybody has understood our voice, you know, and what we wanted to present. So now it's like starting to get easier because we're finding the right people and it's been a process in that, but it has been like our roles have kind of become more apparent with what we want to do. So a lot of times the things that we really love working on together is content. So, you know, it's content, it's coaching a lot of the times. And so it stays within that. And then as far as like overseeing the team parts, we kind of naturally gravitate to what we do well in. And then it's just hiring for the right people that can start to make the decisions the way that we want them to do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, this is so incredible. Like, I want to go back and re-listen to the first episode you guys came on in 2019. And
so then do we.
It's incredible, right? I mean, so much has, you know, like transformed and happened. And I know that I encourage anyone who is who either has or is wanting to launch a product-based business. Like I always, anytime people in my circle of influence or listeners reach out to me and they ask about like, I'm a product-based business. Is your program a good fit? I'm like, no, you need to go to my friends, Jacqueline and Mina at the Product Boss, because you guys have like so many different ways that you serve every level of business. And I know the other thing that in addition to like all your wisdom and stuff, you guys have a holiday promotion challenge that's coming up for anyone who is in a product business world. So that's one. And then also two is you'll be speaking at the summit, which there's more information coming down there. So I'm excited about that, but tell us a little bit about the holiday, Rock Your Holiday promotions, and then where they can sign up.
Yeah. And we do, we definitely have a crossover audience. We have students and masterminders that have come from you as well, just because it's that transition and growing the product business. But what we know is that the busiest time of year and the most profitable time of year for product-based businesses is Black Friday, Cyber Monday, basically the holiday times. And so we've done this year over year and it's called Rock Your Holiday Promotions Challenge, where we're going to help you over the course of 5 days. It's a totally free challenge, help you figure out what your promotions are, what you're going to sell, what your discounts are going to be, and actually help you build those promotions so that you're ready for Black Friday and Cyber Monday in September, which is amazing. So many people are like, I've never been this prepared. That way you have time to enjoy the holidays with your family, get ready, you know, get your production ready. There's so many other things that you need to do and the promotions part will be set and ready to go. So we invite all of you to this totally free challenge. It's at shedidithirway.com/holiday to sign up. It is so exciting. Thousands and thousands of people have gone through it and they've said it's just been a game changer for their business.
I mean, honestly, totally I feel magical. Like I want to go through it as a service online-based business because everything you were saying about the planning and all of that almost seems to fit. But yeah, that's amazing. I know I've seen you guys do this year over year and have such tremendous success with it as well. A couple final questions that I have for you is where are you each individually trying to increase your capacity on something? I know, Mina, you mentioned like increase your capacity. So I'm curious as to where are you both doing that in your own journey?
Last year was definitely in video and showing up, but I think this year is I'm trying to represent showing up as a small business, like really shining bright and being seen. I'm a huge introvert that I know people don't believe me at this point. And sometimes I don't even believe myself.
I don't either anymore.
And so it's been a lot of like a little bit of like fear of being seen transformed into just be brave and do it. And it feels less and less scary every single time. And I want to represent that for small businesses. I think that people resonate with how scary that can be. And Jacqueline, at the end of 2020, we created a Shop One in Five pledge, which is a commitment to buy 1 in 5 of your purchases from a small business online and offline. And we actually created a small business shopping directory where if anybody wants to go look for a small business and support them, they can find it all in one place. And so it's been really exciting. The other flip side of that is that we need people to show up in their best form, ready to shine, because the small business is the hero. And I want to push them to change their lives, to show up more than they've ever shown up before. And I want them to make the most money that they've ever made in their lives. So we're giving them the platform, the visibility with the small business shopping directory. We're really creating a movement with the Shop 1 in 5 pledge. And so that's really, I want to expand my capacity more in that, is showing that it can be done and kind of showing that side of really being the small business that is forward facing.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's amazing. Thank you, Mina. Jacqueline.
So for me, I think, as Mina described from my Hawaii trip, it's the idea of not having to hustle all the time, but to create balance, to now that we can afford to have a team that can do more for us, like even somebody to help at home potentially, or, you know, getting our laundry sent out, whatever it is, it's the idea of like, what do I want my life to look like, business and personal? And, you know, when do I want to turn off my phone? I mean, you're so good at this, Amanda. Like I... side conversation, you know, not to wake up and check your phone and be the last thing you look at when you go to sleep.
I appreciate that. It's I've kind of slipped into a slippery slope, but yes, another conversation. Yeah. I'm working on getting out of it.
But it's that idea, right? It's like, what kind of mom do I want to be? Our kids are only little for so long. They've been home with us. So obviously we've spent a lot of time with them, but really trying to think through by being able to have the privilege and the ability now to afford different things. It's like, okay, what do I want my life to look like in that way? And how do I finally get to where I used to say, like, rich women go to coffee and Pilates in the middle of the day? That was my brain of like, that's what they do. And so like, so then it's like, but do you know what kind of rich? Like, it doesn't have to be rich, but it's that lifestyle. So it's like, well, then how do I do that self-care? Right. Mm-hmm. So what self-care am I going to implement during the day? Because we have built a business with a team that can handle it. And then also, how am I going to show up for my family and my kids and myself ultimately?
So amazing. Oh, I love it. I feel like we could do another even follow-up podcast episode to this, but last question, where can my listeners, I know we shared where they can sign up for the Rock Your Holidays promotion, but if they want to learn more about like Multi-Stream Machine and other products and services, where can they go?
And Multi-Stream Machine, is the doors are opening for one last time in 2021. So make
one
sure
last
to-
time. Oh, one last
in 2021.
Time.
2021. Oh, yeah. Don't do it.
Oh my God.
This year.
I was like, no, wait, what is happening?
That's our main signature course. That's the thing. That's the game changer for so many of our small businesses. So you can get on that wait list at multistreammachine.com or come join us in the Holiday Promotions Challenge, which again is shedidithirway.com/holiday, but we're anywhere you listen to podcasts. So the Product Boss podcast, follow us on Instagram. We like to make reels and entertain you over there. And then theproductboss.com. But the big kicker, the thing that we're asking all of you to do, like our big ask being on this podcast, is to think about the Shop 1 in 5 pledge. Go to shop1in5.com and think about making 1 in 5 of your purchases from this holiday season from the directory to support other small business owners.
Love it. Thank you both so much for coming on the podcast. We'll see you guys soon.
Thanks, Amanda.
All right, listeners, we'll put everything in the show notes. And until next time, keep doing it your way.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidithirway.com, where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes. And you can also access free trainings and resources all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5. And if you enjoyed today's podcast episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.